we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. This is the Refresh Radio broadcast, and my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we would love to have you come and visit us today at 11 a.m. for our vintage service. If you are available, we would love to see you today. We're going to be having praise and worship, praying for miracles. We're praying for souls to be saved right here in Brevard County. You know, I like it when I hear reports of how many thousands of people a day are giving their heart to Jesus around the globe. And I follow that Thanksgiving up with a prayer and say, God, do it here. Do it here. And so the way that he will do that here is through you and I, as we're listening to this radio broadcast and being challenged and stirred in our spirit to do all that God has called us to do. So we'd like to invite you out today at 11 a.m. for our vintage service. If you are unavailable, then if you do not have a church home, we would like to invite you to our Resurrection Sunday services coming up this Sunday. We have our Sunday school at 9:30, our kids' church at 10:30, our main worship service at 10:30. We will be giving everyone who's there an opportunity, no matter how old they are, to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. You see, I was a child when I gave my heart to Jesus. God called me into the ministry when I was a child. And so I believe that if we are going to be effective in making disciples of all men, we should start when they are boys and when they're girls, and raise them up in the things of the Lord from a very young age. So this Sunday, we have special events. There will be an egg hunt, but that is not the main thing. We will be giving them a chance to hunt for empty eggs, but we are going to be setting up stations, sharing the true biblical account of what happened, what Easter is all about, that it reflects the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so every child will be going from station to station. They will be getting some little things that will help them to remember what they hear, and they will have an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of their life. If you have neighbors, if you have children, grandchildren, whoever you might have, see if you can't invite them to come to church. I promise the roof will not fall in. I promise that we will treat you with the love and respect that that Jesus treats all people with, and we will give you an opportunity to have your eternity changed. Come and be a part of that, and see what an amazing team that God has blessed us with at Merritt Assembly of God. That is this Sunday. After that, all of those festivities and all of that action, we are going to be having an Easter picnic. There's going to be sandwiches and potato salad and baked beans and coleslaw and stuffed eggs and dessert. And all of that is absolutely free. We would love for you to come and celebrate with us all that God has done. Now, that night, we are going to say we're going to take the night off and spend it with our families. And, you know, I have always been of the mindset that I want to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I don't want my family to spend an eternity apart from Jesus in accomplishing that mission. So for me, family is task one. It is my relationship with Jesus. It's my relationship with my wife, kids, grandkids. And then that what God is doing, the miracle that he does in our lives, should be evident to those outside of our lives. And they would say, we want what you have. And so we're going to be taking that Sunday night, and we're going to be celebrating it with family. And I hope that you will do the same. As I told you, I just came back from my grandmother's funeral. It was last Thursday, and got to see my parents. And you never know when it's going to be the last opportunity that you have to spend with them. And so I pray that you will treasure your family. You will love them and let them know that Jesus loves them. Make this a special, special weekend as you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know a person that said one time, you know, there's always something that goes wrong, and these holidays that were supposed to be joyous occasions, they end up being nothing more than family feuds. Don't let that happen this day. Celebrate the victory that Jesus made available for you and I. So I want to take just a quick moment and say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, Bill Andriak, 759-3284, 759-3284. He travels throughout central Brevard County here. If you've got air conditioning needs, I doubt you're going to need your heater fixed, but hey, it might be a good time to get your heater fixed. There might be a low demand for it, but you want to make sure that you are thermally set up to establish the climate, whether you like it comfortable at 75, comfortable at 72, or comfortable at 62. You want to make sure that your equipment is all fine-tuned, get a tune-up on it, and make sure that it is running not only cool-wise, but it is running efficiently so that your electric bill is not $5,000 a month. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've been talking the past couple of days about the covenant that Jesus established with us, and that it was established with communion that he celebrated with the disciples. And you might think that that once that was done, that it touched those 11 disciples that remained, and that was all that it did. But I want you to know that there is so much more to it than that. And so today I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to look at a few things, and it says in verse number 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep.'" So, first of all, Paul is the one who wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, and he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." And then he goes on and he repeats what happened between Jesus and the apostles in that room where they were celebrating the Passover. He says, "I didn't get this from Peter. I didn't get it from James. I didn't get it from John. I didn't get it from Barnabas. I didn't get it from Ananias. I didn't get it from Philip or Andrew or any of the other disciples, not Matthew or Levi. I didn't get it from any of them. This is what I received from the Lord." And I want to let you know that if you receive something from God, if you receive a word from God, if you receive direction from God, that it is going to be a word that lines up with his already written word. God's not going to give you a prophetic word that contradicts his written word. His written word is settled forever in heaven and on earth. And so if somebody tries to speak a word over your life, but it doesn't line up with this book, I want you to do this: reject it. You and I are called to make a judgment. We are supposed to evaluate any messages that go forth. We're supposed to see if it is from the Spirit of God. We're supposed to try the Spirit and see if it's God's Spirit or if it is a demonic spirit trying to lead us astray, masquerading as a messenger of light. And so don't be afraid to verify, to authenticate, to make sure that anything that you have received has come from the Lord. And I will also tell you this, that he's not going to do something for you that is contradictory to what he has already provided for the rest of the body. He said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And he goes on and describes that communion. So Jesus communicates to him everything that was gone. But God is saying here to Paul, Paul, this is available for you as well. And so for you and I, the same covenant that was available in the Gospel of Luke that we had talked about for the previous 2 days, that same covenant is available for you and for me. You see, Paul said, I found out that God wanted me to know what happened in that Passover room. He wanted me to know what happened right before Jesus went to Gethsemane and then to the cross and then to the grave and then ascended to the right hand of the Father. He wanted me to know that this covenant was for me as well. But it doesn't stop there. Paul goes on and he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Let me ask you a question. What did your pastor preach on Sunday? Okay, I'm giving you just a little bit of a little time to refresh your memory because you might have something else going on. And what? Just stop and think. What was it that God imparted into my life through my pastor or through my Sunday school teacher just 3 days ago? Just 3 days ago. Okay, do you have it? Do you know what he preached on? I know what I preached on. Do you know what he preached on? Let me ask you this second question, a follow-up question. What have you done with that word that you received? You see, every time there is a word given, there is going to be a response that is required on our part. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, there's a response. There is a word that went forth that says, this is what is possible. And so the people of God needed to humble themselves. They needed to repent. They needed to turn from their sins. They needed to seek the face of God. And God would do his part. But there was a response. And for you and I, we are supposed to do the same thing that Paul did. And that is, for that which I received from the Lord, I did not seal up in a vault, put a concrete bunker around my heart so that nobody else could avail themselves of this wonderful thing that God shared with me. Instead, we are supposed to pass it on to others. What if I told you that your salvation was not supposed to be the end of the discussion? What if I told you that it was supposed to be the beginning of your testimony, that you would be able to go out and share the transforming work of grace that God has done in your heart and in your life? Paul said, for I received it from God, but I passed it on to you. I challenge you, whatever, if it's a testimony that you have, if it's a testimony you heard at church, if it's a scripture you heard at church, I want you to go and share it with somebody. Say, God, would you open up the door so that I could share this great word that I was entrusted with, that I can share it with somebody else? Now, it needs to be shared in view of relationship. Okay, Paul was writing to the Corinthians. He had a relationship with the Corinthians. And he said, I wanted to share it with you because I'm in relationship with you. The church at its very foundation is supposed to be relational. We are supposed to have a relationship with God, and we are supposed to have a relationship with one another, and we are supposed to be seeking to build relationships with those that God wants to be part of the church or the body of Christ. So a few weeks ago, I preached a message, and it was, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And so a little over a week ago, my daughter, who's away at college, sends me sends her mother a text message, one of us a text message, and said that the pastor of the church that she attends while she's at college, that Sunday, 7 days later, he was sharing with his congregation, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So with that in mind, I just wanted to let you know that that she had paid attention to the word. She understood the word, and then she recognized the word when she heard it coming from someone else's mouth. And so pass the good news on to somebody else. It was, you were not supposed to be a dead-end street. It was supposed to be you're supposed to be a conduit through which the good news, it comes in, it makes a difference in your life, and then it moves forward to continue to make impact. You know, if in a crime situation, if there's a shooting, they will call a shooting where the bullet enters one part of the body and exits out the other part of the body. They'll call it a through and through, or it passed through the body. It made an impact where it went, but it went through that body and it impacted something else. That's what the Word of God does. It comes in, but instead of wreaking devastation like a bullet does, it comes in, it brings life, it brings hope, it brings joy, it brings peace, it brings healing, it brings salvation, and then it passes through us on to somebody else so that it can make a difference in their life as well. Here Paul shares, and he says that we are supposed to do this in remembrance of him. These were words of Jesus. That whenever we celebrated the broken body and whenever we celebrate the shed blood of Jesus, the new covenant established in his blood, that's what it says here in verse number 25, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, that whenever we celebrate this, we are doing it in remembrance of him, so that our present actions reflect the past covenant that was established in Jesus. I shared with you how, you know, it used to be that the covenant was established through it was recognized because of a transformation in the physical being of Abraham and his male descendants. But this new covenant is recognized because of two things. It is recognized because of the physical price that was paid by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it is also manifested and reflected in the current celebration of covenant that we have with Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but I love celebrating my birthday. Several years ago, I heard a pastor and he said, I don't celebrate my birthday. I celebrate my birth month. And his kids testified to that he did. I mean, every day you needed to tell him happy birth month and all of that. And I was like, you know what? I like that. I like celebrating that. I like celebrating our anniversary. Listen, guys, if you don't remember your anniversary, it's not going to go well for you. You need to make that a priority. You need to celebrate that covenant that you initiated many, many years ago before the Lord. Don't forget it. Make it a high priority. Make it a special occasion, something that you will look forward to remembering, that your wife will look forward to remembering. Make it a celebratory event. And that's what communion is for us. We do this in remembrance of him. So when you are doing this, we're a couple of days away from Good Friday, and when you are celebrating this covenant that Jesus established, I want you to make sure that you remember not only the fact that his body was beaten, but that he did it to make you whole. Not only did he shed his blood, but he did it so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that you could walk in victory here on earth and live eternally in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do this in remembrance of him. It is a celebration. It is a celebration. And he says, so your current reminder of covenant, your current reminder of covenant, reminds you of what you did or what was done on your behalf thousands of years ago, but you're still doing it right now. And he goes on in verse number 26 and he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And so now Paul is sharing, not only does our current celebration remind us of the past work, but it also reminds us of his ever approaching second coming, his imminent return, not as a baby, not as a helpless victim, not as a silent lamb, but he's coming forth as a conquering king with the word of God proceeding from his mouth, bringing victory in Jesus' name. And so you and I, we can look at that, and we're saying we're proclaiming what he did until there is a return, till he comes again. And so I encourage you, celebrate communion, celebrate the covenant of communion, celebrate it frequently. Celebrate it in victory over what he has already made available to you, but celebrate it in anticipation of what he is going to do. There is a greater listen, if you think there is a remarkable transformation from the person you used to be to the person you are now, I want to tell you there's an even greater transformation that is coming when he transforms us from this mortal body to an immortal body, from this corruptible into an incorruptible body. It's going to be just remarkable. You don't want to miss it. But with all of this that is going on, there's a warning here. He issues a warning in verses 27, 28, 29, and 30. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats or drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, there's a lot of different things that are mentioned in this passage. There's a lot of discussion as, well, what does he mean by that? All it says here is in an unworthy manner, but there are consequences to participating in this in an unworthy manner. And so we always, before we celebrate communion, we offer people the opportunity to get their heart right with God. Okay? But again, I remind you that this is covenant. It's covenant. It's not supposed to be a fleeting event. It's not supposed to be like a trip to Disney World or Islands of Adventure or SeaWorld. It's supposed to be a journey that you're on. So when my anniversary rolls around, I will celebrate it, but I'm celebrating the covenant and the life that God has brought to us because of that covenant. And so I want to encourage you today, don't take your relationship with Jesus lightly. Don't look on it as a casual thing. Look on your relationship with Jesus as a holy thing, a holy encounter with a holy God who wants you and I to be a holy people. Now, I think that that there were probably some people who came in and they, you know, to the church in Corinth, and they didn't have that relationship with Jesus, and they just treated it like they did. You see, the other temples in that scattered the region because of all of the idols, you know, they would, anybody could come in and celebrate. But this is a celebration that is reserved for those walking in covenant who've had their sins forgiven. And so he says that for whatever definition of unworthy Paul is actually talking about here, he says that if we do this in the wrong manner, that there are some that are weak, some that are sick, and some that sleep. Weak, sick, or sleep, meaning they've either just completely fallen asleep at the wheel in their relationship, or they've died. And I don't think there's anybody who's listening to my voice that says, you know, I just wish I was a little more weak in the Lord. I wish that I just wish I was sick today. I, 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 You know, I just wish that today I just go ahead and die because of the failings of my own body and of my own spirit. I don't know anybody that says that. So I want to encourage you today to lift up your eyes, lift up your expectations, know that Jesus has provided for you. And listen, if that's what happens when we participate in it in an unworthy manner, I want you to look and see that the possibilities are there, that the opposite is true for those who participate in communing with the Lord in a covenant relationship. The opposite is the reality for those of us who are doing it in a worthy manner. Instead of walking in weakness, you walk in the power of His might. You walk in strength. You walk in power. You walk in authority. That instead of being sick, that instead, when we walk in covenant, that healing that He has paid for manifests itself in our body. Now I want to tell you, I am not saying that if you are experiencing sickness in your body, that it's because of, you know, some sin on your part. I'm not saying that at all. If I was saying that, I would have to be preaching to myself because I've got a missing finger. I've got an eye that doesn't work. I need glasses to be able to see. There's a whole lot of things that go on in my body, and not all of those are manifestations of a lack of covenant relationship with God, because I'm seeking His face, I'm reading His word, I'm proclaiming His word, I'm doing what He's called me to do, I've embraced His will, and I do it with joy. But there are some people that there is sickness that comes because of this that Paul is talking about, an unworthy manner. And the opposite of that is also true. Instead of being asleep, we will be awake, we will be alert, we will be alive, we will be functioning, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, over the next couple of days, we've got to realize that Jesus had His sights set on Calvary. He had His sights set on the cross. But I want to remind you, just like Carmen said in that song a long time ago, it may be Friday, but Sunday's on the way. You've got a lot of resurrection power that God wants to place inside of you. He wants to quicken our mortal bodies. He wants His church to be known as a healthy, vibrant, powerful church. And He wants you to be a part of that. Father, I just pray right now that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead would quicken our mortal bodies. Quicken Your church, O God, that we would be messengers of hope, messengers of life, messengers of forgiveness, and messengers of healing. In Jesus' name, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."